Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.
Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded March 4th, 2026. Well, that February 28th, 2026 will live as a date in infamy is certain. But in an age of so many infamies, what difference the mighty in Washington and Tel Aviv, Berlin, Paris, London, and Ottawa, may ask, does one more orgy of destruction make? That hubris and viciousness, revealed by America and its enablers in the course of these last terrible years, has led to this reeking fin de siècle to end all fin de siècle today. Andy Worthington's an English journalist, activist, author, photo historian, filmmaker, musician, songwriter, and principal of the Four Fathers Band. He is, too, a co-founder of the ongoing Close Guantanamo campaign. His book titles include The Guantanamo Files, the stories of the 774 detainees in America's illegal prison, Stonehenge, Celebration and Subversion, and The Battle of the Beanfield. Andy's articles appear at andyworthington.co.uk, where I found his recent piece, Trump Isolated as His Illegal and Unprovoked War on Iran Backfires. Andy Worthington in the first half. And none of the new horrors has altered the genocidal intent of the Jewish state in Palestine. Nominal ceasefires may have slowed the rate of the slaughter, but the killing continues and spreads. Outside of the Gaza Strip, the pogroms in cities, towns, villages, and the countryside conducted by settler soldiers have escalated, with thousands murdered, injured, and imprisoned. And as in Gaza and Lebanon and now Iran, hospitals and other civic infrastructure are targets of a military that knows no limits. Salam Hamdan is a Palestinian political activist and social feminist from Ramallah in the West Bank. She's been in Canada for some time now, watching from here her home set fire to. Salam Hamdan and the other side of the Palestine genocide in the second half. But first, Andy Worthington and the wages of America's latest sin. Welcome back to the show, Andy.
Hey, thanks, Chris. What a time, eh?
It's crazy. Before getting to your article, though, Andy, being the first Wednesday of the month, I know that you were attending the monthly Close Guantanamo vigil in London today. Would you remind us, please, Andy, of what that is and how it went today?
Yeah, well, I've been doing... I set it up 3 years ago. I decided to ask friends and colleagues across the US and around the world if they would... like to join what we've been doing in London for about 6 months at that point, which was to hold a monthly vigil on the first Wednesday of every month, just to try and remind the world that the prison at Guantanamo Bay is still open and that men are still held there in various fundamental states of lawlessness, you know, a lot of which is not just wrong in and of itself, but is actually something that has provided inspiration for some of the terrible things that we're seeing now. I think really the way that people are being detained and held in Donald Trump's massive deportation program in the United States is clearly something that would have been much more difficult to achieve were it not for the malignant example of Guantanamo that, you know, is still there and still can cast its baleful influence on so many things.
Yeah, Empire Coming Home, another example of that. Well, the lawlessness you speak of is everywhere, and it seems to be right down the toilet. But strangely enough, international lawyer come Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Keir Starmer, has rediscovered lawfulness, or at least he says he has, when he was criticized for not joining in the bloodfest immediately with the Americans over Iran. He said that he would not agree to go along until there was a lawful basis and viable thought-through plan to do so. Is this Starmer's Damascene moment?
Well, not really, Chris, no. But clearly what's happened is that advisors who have experience in international law, all of which he learned but has apparently forgotten, have actually been sounding alarm bells very close to him and saying, you know, no, this is another step. This is a step too far. You know, he didn't seek approval from the United States Congress. He didn't seek approval from the United Nations Security Council. And he's gone straight in there and executed, you know, the head of a sovereign state and a member of the United Nations. And, you know, that's too much for us to get involved with. Whether they were aware at the beginning that it might also be dangerous to do so, I'm not sure. But it feels to me like it was easier than usual for them to persuade him that there are certain red lines that he really ought not to cross.
I don't recall the British response to the kidnapping of Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela. What was that not a step too far for Starmer?
Well, I have to say, given the state of the world at the moment, Chris, you know, they didn't kill him.
Not yet.
You know, when we're looking at degrees of monstrousness, I think we're at a particular accumulation of horrors here with the blatant targeting and murder of Iran's supreme leader, that, you know, along with the declaration of a full-blown war without any kind of approval whatsoever, that is surely about as bad as it gets, isn't it?
Well, it's been pretty bad, but I wonder about the principle. Fyodor Lukyanov, forgive the pronunciation, Fyodor, has written a pretty interesting article talking about the state of international law today and what, you know, referencing the murder of the Iranian leadership. He cites the precedents of Muammar Gaddafi and of Libya and Saddam Hussein in Iraq, both murdered, but in different, you know, ways, with sort of the trappings, at least, of legality and done with by local proxies and so forth. But in the case of Venezuela, that wasn't the situation there, and that seemed to sort of be a stepping stone precedent to the murder of Khomeini in Iran. In my mind, well, but the principle is the same.
Well, I would say, Chris, that, you know, unfortunately, the most notorious precedent for this is what Israel does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know that the Americans were not directing this under Biden. All they were, you know, what was happening is that the U.S. was refusing to stop sending weapons to Israel. But Israel's way of operating is that they feel like they have complete impunity to just murder the leaders of opposition movements or of people that they don't like. And so this is really, it seems to me, America, you know, 100% joining in with the New World Disorder implemented by Israel for so long, which is that, you know, there are no rules. If you want to take out a foreign leader because you don't like them, then fine, you know, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, the Lord of War Hegseth in the United States said something to the effect that, you know, this is no holds barred. We're in it to win this thing, or, you know, whatever, some typical puerile comment that would come.
I think my favorite horrible quotes of his, we're punching them when they're down, he said. What a nasty piece of work he is.
Trump, for his part, fired off at Starmer, saying he's not Winnie. He's no Winston Churchill, rather. I added the Winnie. But Starmer was also criticized by the Tory opposition, Kemi Badenoch, about the Akrotiri attack at the British airbase on Cyprus, Akrotiri. She says of Starmer that he is, quote, catching arrows rather than stopping the archer. I thought it was a pretty clever little turn of phrase. And this in response to a drone attack against the airbase that has ostensibly been supporting the genocide in Palestine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's pretty clear from the work of, particularly of Declassified UK, that's exactly what's been happening. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the BBC says that Akrotiri is, quote, used for training and as a, quote, mounting base for overseas operations in the Middle East, but that's not something that the British government has commented. As far as I know, at least, they haven't commented on their enthusiastic enjoining of the genocide going on for, 30 months now?
Oh, yeah, they desperately try to keep quiet about that. And also, maintain silence throughout the media as well, which they either do through the mainstream media's willing cooperation, or they do it through, you know, there's a certain censorship program that we have in this country called a D-notice, mm-hmm. Where the government says to the mainstream media on certain issues that they don't want discussed, you are not allowed to discuss this. So much for the freedom of our media, eh?
What is the sentiment in Britain right now? You didn't answer me about the turnout, first of all, for the Guantanamo, closed Guantanamo demo today. Are you managing, because there is so much going on, are you managing to maintain interest not only in London but in the other cities where these demos go on every first Wednesday of the month?
Yeah, I mean, the turnouts are small, Chris, and obviously this is, you know, a particularly difficult time to care when there's so much else going on. I think the great thing about the hardcore opponents of Guantanamo who turn out every month is that we know how much the principle of this foundational lawlessness of Guantanamo, which is still ongoing, we know how important it is. So, that's why we continue to agitate about it. But, I'm glad to say that there are vigils taking place today at the European Parliament in Brussels, outside the White House, in New York City, and in other locations across the United States. So people are, maintaining their interests. I have to say, at some of those locations, particularly New York, there will be a colorful array of all kinds of placards, covering all aspects of the horrors that are going on. But yeah, I'm glad that it's still going. I mean, I don't think we should stop for any reason, having built up this momentum. And I'm enormously grateful that, you know, there are a small number of people who persistently refuse to forget when the main message about Guantanamo is that we must all forget that it's still there.
Well, and that these things are not disparate events floating around in the cosmos. They are connected to each other intimately, and as you say, we see these things coming around to affect us as well, these injustices meted out to the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And very worryingly so, I think, at the moment, Chris. And I don't know whether you've been talking to anyone recently about AI, but I think the accelerated use of AI to do things that previously were simply impossible in terms of collecting and collating information on us and deciding, you know, who is good and who is bad, who lives and who dies. I think the scale of that acceleration at the moment is really genuinely more disturbing than almost anything I could imagine.
Well, that is, I mean, it's a little off topic, but still connected as well. And I saw, it's not only just who gets killed because of the programs and so forth that they run, which we've seen in Palestine, Where's Daddy, and these other horror-laden programs that automatically decide who lives and who dies, but what lives and what dies. I saw an article not long ago about a proposal for, I think, like a dozen or more of these huge AI outfits to be plopped on top of whales. And these things are just so hugely disruptive of environment and suck up all the local water and require power stations all of their own and take over whole power grids and everything else. Are you following this proposal to drop these, I think it was like 13 or 14 of these big data centers in Wales?
Well, I think it's happening everywhere. I mean, the place I've most come across the story is in the US, where there's growing opposition. But I imagine it's happening in Canada as well, Chris. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all being ambushed by quite quickly that, you know, if they want to park an AI data center in your local environment, it will suck up half of your water supply. I mean, you know, it's deranged. But, you know, I've been following the story of Anthropic, who, you know, I'm sure you've heard about it, yeah. refused to drop two guidelines as demanded by Pete Hegseth on the AI program that they provide to the U.S. military or provided. One, that that they had guardrails preventing the total surveillance of all American citizens. And the second one, that they had guardrails preventing the use of autonomous weapons. And, you know, as has happened, you know, the DOD has turned against Anthropic. And now we're in a situation where OpenAI and their really colossally horrible anti-human head, Sam Altman, has been suggesting that he'll make whatever the U.S. military wants available. And what I'm glad to say is that, you know, he's in charge of ChatGPT. And there have been calls for a massive boycott, and that's actually working. So if I could put out one message tonight, it would be, please, everybody, stop using using ChatGPT, and let's punish this AI provider who you know, is accelerating the evil of the business that he's involved with as much as possible.
Well, I as far as that goes, I mean, you could ask me to stop riding endangered rhinoceroses for sport, and I'd say, yeah, okay, I'll stop doing that because I'm not doing it. But these AI systems, yeah. they are a part of my life, whether I know it or not, in ways that, I mean, I have no idea, but it's all around us and it's all through us and into all of our most secret places.
Yeah. I mean, I think when we're talking about evil in the AI industry, then it's relative. But I think at the moment, what I find encouraging is that there's been a massive, massive amount of opposition to ChatGPT because of its owner and his absolute lack of morals. And, you know, I would like to see that spread. I mean, I think, you know, what we need is a coherent and massive war against the entire business of AI, because it is extremely dangerous. Whatever, there may be aspects of it which are helpful in terms of data and medicine and a handful of things, but that's not what we're getting. What we're getting is a massive surveillance and control state, which in the end and in the not too distant future, I think, will, as in Gaza, decide, hey, this is really easy for us to decide who lives and who dies. Wow. You know, especially as unrest increases in the coming years, Chris, which I think is inevitable. You know, climate collapse, which no one wants to talk about, is carrying on and getting worse, even as we're distracted by all kinds of other things, some of them pointless, some of them terrible. But, you know, the dark future is really not very far ahead at all, I think.
Well, and how much easier to not decide who lives or dies, but just to let the machines do it for us.
Let the machine do it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Andy Worthington. Andy's an English journalist, activist, author, photo historian, filmmaker, musician, songwriter, and principal of the Forefathers Band. He is, too, co-founder of the ongoing Close Guantanamo campaign. His book titles include The Guantanamo Files, the stories of the 774 detainees in America's illegal prison, Stonehenge, Celebration and Subversion, and The Battle of the Beanfield. His articles appear at his website, andyworthington.co.uk. I found the article "Trump Isolated as His Illegal and Unprovoked War," in scare quotes, "on Iran Backfires." Andy, that scare quotes around war is shared by some of the spokespeople now. They seem to be tap dancing quite furiously backwards, trying to say that this isn't a war. This is not a war. This is a SMO, like as in what Russia engaged in with Ukraine, a special operation, trying to avoid international legal complications, which why they would even bother at this late date, I can't imagine. But maybe there's some stirring, some life in the United Nations. After all, at the UN Security Council, none other than Melania Trump took the helm as America took over its monthly head of the body. Did you follow this, Melania, at the UNSC?
Yeah, I did. Talking about children in conflict. I mean, what,
exactly.
You know, what I said about it was I would only take her seriously if she announced that she had left her husband because of his involvement in child sex trafficking. But I don't think she did that. So the hypocrisy is just off the charts, isn't it?
Well, her talk was titled Children, Technology, and Education in Conflict. The spokespeople in Iran noted the bitter hypocrisy of that, as 165 schoolgirls and their teachers were blown to pieces in the first opening salvos of the war. Again, a reiteration of this Israeli rules of engagement adopted by the United States. So nobody's claiming responsibility just yet. It seems from the latest things I've seen that it was indeed the American Air Force that did this deed. I was thinking whenever I was listening to the CBC, the national radio here in Canada, paid for by the blood and sweat of the citizenry. And they had some general or colonel or some such, you know, former military industrial complex media managing fire putter outer on there, and using the language of what's going on right now with the American forces and their air campaign, and you know, using these buzzwords that we're all so used to and thoroughly sick of now over these last 25 years of constant warfare. And all that I could think of, all in my mind's eye, I was seeing was these school children blown to smithereens. Yeah.
Well, absolutely, Chris, and that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, that was day one. So any notion that that US or Israel wanted to win the hearts and minds of the Iranian people has been exposed for the cruel joke that it is. But it's the fact there's no distinction anymore between a legitimate target and an illegitimate target. And that's exactly what Gaza has done. So this is the Gazaification of US foreign policy, if you like, that explicitly Israel has infected the United States so much now that it is plunging into the depths of depravity as Israel has established, and seemingly with great gusto. Although, you know, what interests me really at the moment, Chris, is how is the unintended consequences. The impacts of this, and the fact that the Iranians have clearly planned their response, because they've had since last June to do it, and are targeting U.S. Bases and U.S. assets across the Middle East, are also managing to pierce Israel's Iron Dome yet again. And the huge impact this is now imposing on the oil and gas industries and, you know, our entire global existence as we know it. All within just a few days. I don't know whether you've seen, this is quite recent news, that Qatar has issued a force majeure declaration that it can no longer provide the LPG supplies, which is mostly in Southeast Asia. But all its contracts are null and void. It cannot produce what it has contracted to produce because of the situation. And these things are just multiplying and escalating into complete chaos.
Well, interestingly, too, they have these big companies, and Amazon just put this out, but they've got these AI operations in these Emirate countries, and they just announced, your cloud computing, you know, something to the effect of back up your cloud computing because we can't help you anymore. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, here, because something has been hit, that their power supply or their actual data center, I'm not sure which, but that basically the whole thing is starting to come into small pieces.
Yeah, it seems very much so. And I would imagine that, the pressure has to be on the United States. I mean, you know, it's insane to listen to someone like Pete Hegseth and his rantings, but also Trump saying, you know, we can have an endless war forever because we've got more weapons than anyone ever. It's all lies. You know, he summoned some of the CEOs of the major arms companies into the White House to berate them for not producing weapons fast enough.
They can't possibly, though. And just this quote from Amazon, because I just love it. Quote, we strongly advise customers to update their applications to ingest S3 data to an alternate AWS region. Thank you for your attention. Whatever that means. I'm sure that somebody is shitting bricks right now.
Well, I'm just hoping that whoever can exert pressure on the U.S. is doing so. I mean, the fact is, becoming Israel when you're the U.S., really actually trying to become Israel, is deranged because Israel does not care. You know, this is a monstrously hubristic, depraved regime that lives only now to destroy and to kill. America is, you know, could still pull itself back from the brink. But, you know, I think that's going to take serious pressure, which I imagine is being exerted, to say, look, guys, before the whole lot collapses, you have to stop this shit because, you know, this isn't working. And you didn't think about it.
Well, throughout the region now, the Saudis are sending their riot control into their, I don't know if it was Bahrain or Qatar or somewhere, but they've got an agreement to support each other's murderous dictatorships that are the satraps of the Americans. Because the locals are rising up, you know. Is that right? Okay, so it really is a bomb underneath their feet. And we're fast running out of time. I mean, the fact that Trump would fall on his sword for Israel and say, no, Israel didn't, you know, they weren't the ones, it was me that decided to start with Iran and all this, you know, that is unbelievable. And taking the position of trying to become more unpopular globally than Israel, I mean, that is just...
He isn't going to like how this is making him unpopular.
Oh, my God, you know.
He wants simple wins to foster his illusion of himself as this great man. So,
the simpleton in chief. But okay, Andy, we had a bit of a late start, and I've got a hard stop I've got to do here. But on the good news side, because I don't want to leave everybody, you know, standing on their high rises balcony, considering the great beyond. But in Britain, there was a by-election, and there was an astounding upset. Do you want to talk briefly about Hannah Spencer's victory?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, the thing is, the resurgent Green Party under their eco-populist new leader, Zach Polanski, has just been delivering a coherent, inspiring, confident message of how we're all being ripped off by the billionaires. And it's time to completely reshape society. Just a fantastic, very modern left-wing message, which is appealing to increasing numbers of people. And she's a plumber, and she won a major by-election up in the north in Manchester when she was particularly up against Reform, which is our bargain basement Trumpian far-right party, who were galloping ahead in the polls and now... seem to be becoming slightly less popular. And that's the most urgent thing for us, is that the Greens increase their support, Reform lose theirs, because otherwise we're heading to a very dark place. But the Green story is just fantastically inspiring. I mean, it really is possible that given the right circumstances, popular left-wing views will be embraced by a significant number of people. And we've been so much encouraged to think that that's not possible anymore.
Well, and this was a traditional Labour stronghold.
Absolutely.
And she took it with 40% of the vote. The Reform got 28.7, and Labour third with 25%. And we got to remember to include the Tories, who came in with a whopping 1.6% for all those who would be Mrs. Thatcher, the next Mrs. Thatcher. Andy, I'm sorry to give you the hard stop, but I'm going to be talking to Salam Hamdan in a few minutes' time. She is a resident of Ramallah here in Canada for the interim, perhaps trapped here for longer than she might have meant to be here. But it's always a joy, as usual, to speak with you, Andy, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Their message always to everybody through all their advertising, all their PR, everything is, we are your friends. And it's like, no, you are not our friends. Friends are not people. His bottom line is how much profit they can make out of you. It is completely different.
Guerrilla Radio, knowing who our real friends are since 1999.
We're running out of time to put out a fire, fire.
The Department of War said to the AI corporations, We'll tell you the score, you stick to your stations. Give us what we want and we'll pay you very well. Dare to complain, go straight to hell. Because we just want your company.